panoply, panorama, panpipe, pansy, aha, pansexual, knowing no boundaries of sex or gender. Sound interesting? Then join Sally on Sundays at noon for Out of the Pan. All those gender questions making you think too hard? Whether it's transgender, bisexual, polyamorous or beyond, we'll throw those questions into the pan and cook up the answers for you. So go on, push that gender envelope, only on 3CR 855am digital and 3cr.org.au.
CR 855am, 3CR digital, 3cr.org.au and 3CR on demand. Out of the Pan with Sally, first broadcasting noon through one every Sunday afternoon, currently Australian Eastern Standard Time. Thanks for your company. 3CR proudly broadcasts from the lands of the Kulin Nations at the overlap of the contested lands of the Wurundjeri and Bunurong peoples. And we pay respects to elders, past, present and emerging. Hello to any Aboriginal or Torres Strait Islander First Nations people tuning in today. And we acknowledge that all the lands were stolen and never ceded. Always was, always will be Aboriginal land. I'm Sally Goldner. I use the pronouns she and her. And this show covers, as I like to say, pansexual issues, knowing no boundaries of sex, gender or genre. And I've got two wonderful guests I'll introduce in the in a second in the studio today with me to talk all about that sort of thing in a way. But if you want to get in touch with the show, if you've got news to bring to my attention, or as we like to say on this show, if you've got any queries, you can get in touch with outofthepan855@gmail.com. You can SMS 61456751215 on Twitter, Mastodon, Blue Sky, and very shortly Instagram at Sal Gold Said So, and that's the bottom line. And posts on Facebook, my page Sally Goldner, and Out of the Pan 3CR 855 AM Melbourne. Postal address PO Box 1277 Collingwood 3066. Any opinions that I express on the show are my own. Don't think there'll be any content notes that I can think of today. If they come up, we'll give you the numbers. And opened up today with Cold Chisel for two reasons. Well, the last wave of summer, because I think we have definitely just finished our wonderful last wave of summer. It was a bit sexual orientation and gender identity, a bit soggy this morning when I put my head outside for the first time in some time. But that's the way it happens. Melbourne, hashtag climate diverse, as we like to say. And also opened up with the track The Things I Love in You, because I have two wonderful guests in the studio today who I met a few months ago, and I just was very touched by their journey when they shared a bit of it about it with me, and I thought it would be nice if you could hear it too, awesome 3CR listeners. So welcome to the 3CR studios, Shelley and Wren. Welcome, welcome.
Thank you so much for having us.
We're so happy to be here and very flattered that you were touched by our story to bring us on. We're very excited.
Cool. Well, just for our listeners, can I get each of you to say who is who and which pronouns you use, if any, if that's okay to ask that latter question?
Sure, of course. My name is Wren. My pronouns are they and she.
And my name is Chelsea. I go by any pronouns, so they, she, he, and we're both on the trans spectrum.
Yes, correct.
So some trans love. The posts on social media today will have a trans-coloured heart, which I think is a pretty cool thing. And as I say, it was just lovely to meet you a few months ago and just, you know, sort of, I don't know, there was just something, energy, closeness about you. But let's, I don't know, where does it all begin? Once upon a time, you know, sort of perhaps, I'll go, Wren, you know, sort of start a little, first of all, with your, a little bit of how much you want to talk about your own journey before you met Shelley.
Sure. Well, my journey would have started, of course, many years ago. We met when we were quite young. I was only 11 and Chell, you were 15. But we met online before the days of the dating apps and even Facebook. We met on a little, now largely defunct website called Bebo.
Ah.
And but before that, I was a small town kid growing up on Kangaroo Island in South Australia. Very much with a loving, supportive family who may be listening today, if I am lucky enough for that, who always encouraged me to kind of be true to myself, and that's how I ended up where I am today.
Yeah. Well, Chell, what about where did things start for you?
Well, Wren already covered it in terms of when we met. In comparison, though, I didn't find myself until quite later in life. I was in my uni days when I finally realized, oh, this is why I feel so different, so strange, so out of the ordinary, and like a bit of the black sheep of the family. But although it took many years, it was once it all clicked into place, it was just kind of like a moment, like the puzzle pieces coming together. And I since then I've gone on that journey of further figuring myself out, and And yeah, in that growing friendship with Rin, she also really helped me with that and showed me how normal that is, and how accepted it can be. And because I come in actually, that's something we bonded over. I also come from a very tiny town in middle America. Mm-hmm. It's not many people are going to know it. It's called Grandin, Missouri. So of 200 people, so not a lot of opportunity to really explore and discover your identity. So,
and this is a southern Missouri, so with all its charms, there was a lot of guns, a lot of people who had strong conservative values, and that wasn't the most comforting environment for a young trans kid to kind of look into themselves.
Yeah, exactly. So I definitely needed to meet you, because otherwise I don't think I would have gone on this journey.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's a few things in there. This now gets us to, well, we'll say the intersection. How you said you met online, where, you know, sort of through Bebo, and yes, may long live platforms and means of connection. My Yahoo groups, rest in peace, and all that sort of
rest
thing.
Rest in peace.
Yes.
Messenger. Or MSN, I mean.
Or MSN.
Skype.
Skype, yes. Skype is now gone. The Zoom and Teams washed it out, thanks to the damn-demic, as I call it.
Yes.
What was the other one that used to be? Oh, there were so many.
So many.
I'm just trying to, I can't remember. Anyway, the thing was, you connected through there, and can tell us a little more, you know, each as you want to, together, singly. What happened from there? You met on Bebo, then what was next?
I can give a bit of a summary. We were actually talking about this last night, how to condense so many years of
because we are aware of the time.
Yeah. I would say it started through a little art group that we joined together, because that was what we were both individually interested in, and we met some mutual friends through there who we don't really talk to much now, but it, you know, gave us a gift in being able to meet each other, and we went from the little Bebo inbox system to Skype, may it rest in peace.
and MSN.
Yes, and MSN Messenger, for anyone who remembers that. And we would talk for hours, like sometimes, you know, 8 hours, 12 hours, and long into the night when we really should have been sleeping. But we had no real way to counter it otherwise because of the drastic time difference.
Mm. Mm.
And, yeah, the closer we got, the longer the hours went, because I think at the beginning it'd be, you know, maybe 2 or 4 hours and then we'd go to bed. But then 2 became 4, 4 became 6, 8 became...
Right. Both of our parents were very concerned about our sleep schedule, and my poor mother, she was worried about this stranger I was talking to online before I described, you know, who Chell was, and that she wasn't anyone nefarious. And Mom actually talked to you and met you. She was one of the first people outside of myself from, like, my side of, I guess, things to talk to you and chat with you, and
yeah.
You joked a little bit, and she always got good feelings from you, and now she's pretty much adopted you as
yes.
her own child.
Yes, exactly.
She's very protective over you.
Yes.
Cool. So there's this connection. Kangaroo Island meets Missouri. The Kangaroo Island Missouri friendship circle began, but obviously you had to meet in person sometime.
Yeah.
You know, how did all that happen? When did it happen?
The first time we met, it was in 2012, yeah. I believe. I talked to my family about it, and my mum and dad got together, and dad took me to America to meet Chell, and we went to Middle America, and we spent most of the time kind of in your town, getting to know your side of things, and it was wonderful meeting in person, and there were a few rocky ups and downs, you know, because, for instance, like, we weren't really on the same page with our feelings yet. Like, that kind of came later. Mm-hmm. But it was still wonderful to meet, and it was definitely a stepping stone to get where we are today.
Yeah, yeah, Shell, you know, sort of, so there it was. And I'm sorry, I didn't catch that. Was it Brandon, Missouri?
Grandin.
Like, Grandin.
Yeah, like grand and then I-N.
So. Yeah, gotcha. So, yeah, how was that for you to have this, to have Ren and Dad all the way from Kangaroo Island come to your town? And what was happening, you know, for you then?
It was very surreal to... for it to finally happen in person. And as Ren mentioned, there were the rocky bits in terms of, like, not being on the same page, and then both of us struggling with our own mental health issues. So, and being young, like, there were a few communication issues, but overall, like, it was very fulfilling in the way of having built up this friendship for a few years prior and then just finally connecting, and then
it made it more real. I'd
yeah,
say.
It did. And that, because sometimes friendships, especially online friendships, come and go. Sometimes they can fade, like how Ren mentioned with the other ones that we met, but there was something that just kept, bringing us back, and that we wanted to stay connected. And you were only able to stay for a few months due to, you know, visa things. But after that, we stayed connected, and we planned to, if I ever could, to visit Australia in turn.
Yep, to return the favor.
Yeah, so
that was our goal from then on.
Yeah, and in that time between 2012 to 2015, when I was able to visit... pardon me, that it was in that time frame where our feelings were starting to align and come to the surface. And
although nothing happened until you came in 2018.
Exactly.
And because we wanted to just be able to talk it out properly.
Like to see how real or not they feel in person, and if it would work, and if we even... because upon talking hours on it, and in the emotional intricacies that hold, you know, there it holds those feelings, and then we just wanted to see if that could hold physically as well.
You
in
know,
person.
I think we tell a lie actually, because you came in 2016, I believe. I said 2018, but.
Oh, yeah.
2016 was when you visited, and 2018 was when you moved.
Oh actually, sorry, we're getting the dates a little bit jumbled. I actually came here in 2015, and then you came again in 2016.
Yeah.
But, we just wanted to, in me visiting in 2015, we wanted to just see how, since it'd be the two of us traveling throughout, like from Sydney to getting to Kangaroo Island, we just wanted to see how we would stand as two people, since our families were involved the last time. And, you know, there was that distance there. And we did realize, and December of that year, we made our mutual feelings known and have been together ever since.
Yes.
Cool. All right, I think we'll have a breather at that point, just to we'll tease our listeners what happened next. The next chapter in the story of Shelley and Ren. I was going to say, well, it's a trans love story, and we need those in this world. Just before we go to a quick to a music track, just got to acknowledge one of our awesome listeners, Xavier. Good to hear from you. Xav listens on a Monday now these days. Enjoy your dedication. Well, thank you, Xav, and thank you for listening. Thanks to all our amazing listeners for their support on this show and all the shows on 3CR. We can't do it without you. It's otherwise we're talking to no one. We don't want that. We're glad that you're supporting us, 3CR, in its 50th year. Let's have some music. This one's from, a track that I picked specifically, and honestly, the timing couldn't be better. It's from Andrew Pendlebury's album, Don't Hold Back That Feeling, and Kate Sobrano, calling you. 3CR 855 AM, 3CR Digital, 3CR.org.au, 3CR On Demand, Out of the Pan with Sally.
Desert road from Vegas to nowhere, someplace better than where you've been. Coffee machine that needs some fixing in a little cafe just around the bend. Oh, I am calling you. Can't you hear me? Kick it in, please.
Pan thanks Go Kindly for their sponsorship of this program. Go Kindly creates high-quality, locally made bedding, donating 50% of profits to support women and gender diverse people experiencing housing stress. Check out gokindly.com.au and take their pillow quiz.
The work cover system is broken. Delays, denials, and profit-driven decisions are hurting real people physically, mentally, and financially. Add your support to the call for change by the Injured Workers Support Team. Visit the Parliament of Victoria website, find the Legislative Reform for Workers' Compensation System e-petition, and add your name. Stand with the IWST and injured workers. demand a system that is centred on recovery, dignity and safety. Sign the petition today. IWST is a 3CR supporter.
Hi, I'm Nate Byrne, your friendly neighbourhood weather presenter. Hoping you're having a fine day. You're listening to 3CR Community Radio, 855 AM.
3CR, 855 AM, 3CR Digital, 3CR.org.au, 3CR On Demand, Out of the Pan with Sally, first broadcasting noon through one every Sunday afternoon. Thanks for your company. We just heard from Kate Sobrano taking lead vocals with the fabulous Andrew Pendlebury on guitar from the 1992 album Don't Hold Back That Feeling. And, well, we got to the point discussing with my fabulous guest Shelley and Ren where they didn't hold back their feelings. Let's just recap a bit. You've met. Ren then went to America in 2012. And then 2015, Shelley, you came to Australia, and
that's right.
And you met at Sydney Airport at that time, and then sort of went from there. If we had it right, yeah,
correct. So all in all, there were three trips to each other's countries. One where I visited, and then you came, and then I went back, and then the last trip was you coming here in 2018. Rachel, and staying.
Yes, because each send-off to the airport was harder than the last. Each goodbye was harder than the last. And whether our relationship was going to remain as a friendship or more, we just knew that we couldn't really last being separated by the oceans, and we just made it a goal that as soon as I was able, I would earn enough and make it over. And I was able to in 2018, and I've been here ever since.
Yeah. So you made the decision to come here. Was that, that was obviously, there could have been other options. Both of you could have gone to a neutral country or a third country outside of Australia or the US, but was there any other, what was the sort of sway factor for you to come here, Shell?
Well, there's a plethora of reasons. With Ren, well, first of all, both of us being queer and trans, and then Ren also having her conditions and disability, we knew that the support and benefits here would better suit Ren's well-being compared to my little town where, healthcare is abysmal and support is abysmal. And Ren's lovely family and her friends are here as well. And and they had already embraced and accepted me. And I knew we would be able to build our life together much more easily and much more freely here.
That makes lots of sense. There was more support, and of course, well, I don't want to I suppose there's an elephant in the room,
yes,
so to speak, who I will only refer to as Mr. 4547. And of course he was 45 in from 2016 to 2020. Was that sort of to any significant percent a factor?
That was a huge factor, actually, because things were already bad there, and we just knew that it was just going to get worse, and it has. It really has. Mm. And I think it would have just, that whole political situation would have made it even worse for us, especially the direction that it's taking now.
Yeah.
And I'm really glad I managed to leave when I did, because that aside, when COVID hit as well, that would have been really difficult to be separated if I hadn't have arrived when I did.
Well, gosh, yeah, there's a factor, the whole, had you not been here, the loss of travel, that would have really been difficult, given that you weren't holding back the feelings, in the words of our last song, things were building all the time. So when you first came out here, Shel, where were you, the two of you, living?
That's a very good question. We moved into a little apartment with my sibling, who may be listening today. Hi, Kay, if you're listening. right next to the Queen Victoria Market. It was the three of us, and that kept us afloat for a couple years.
While you were going to RMIT.
Yes, that's right. I was studying creative writing there. That kept us going, and then we moved out to Hawthorne, then to Hawthorne East, and now we are out in Mount Waverley. So we're just kind of staying in that area, and we're still trying to find our roots. I don't think we'll be staying there for much longer, but it all started with the Queen Victoria Market with my sibling.
Yeah.
Cool. So you ended up in Melbourne, and the situation, of course, was at least you were together during, the situation of lockdown, so you had each other in that time, which was really good. I'm just going to do a random question. I mean, we all know money is a thing, but in a blue sky ideal world, what part of Melbourne would you like to live in?
Oh, we've talked about this a lot, actually. Where we live now, there is no queer scene, so we would love to go anywhere with a queer scene, anywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah, and, like, the closest queer scene, we have to, like, travel 25, 30 minutes plus to just get somewhere remotely.
Yeah.
In that kind of sphere, and it's rough. Like, we do thankfully have a few friends nearby that we get to see, but it's also hard to be isolated from a community that we're so deeply a part of.
It's true. That's kind of why we jumped on the chance when you reached out to us, Sally, because we're always looking for ways to deepen that connection, especially if when we can't always be there physically. But taking the chance today, I was really happy about.
Yeah. No, I'm just having a think. Waverley's, I think, City of Monash from memory.
Yes. Correct, yeah.
I know they do work on queer stuff, but I do understand. I mean, I lived in what I call just into the middle of the suburbs. It was beyond the inner suburban ring for nearly 16 years in this Bulleen, which is in the city of Manningham, great place. But there wasn't the queer visibility, and although I didn't really want to move at the time, I've ended up in Brunswick West, and you can almost feel the queer energy. So
right,
I do
just
know
night
what
and day.
You mean. It's just night and day, and it just feels, the boost, I have to say, to my mental health is important. So I understand that. So we'll panifest. The ideal house for you. We have a question from one of our awesome listeners.
Oh, that's exciting.
Roving Reporter has come in. Hey, Roving, hope you're going well. Roving around out there. Question to your guests. If they were PM for a day, what would you do in policy?
Oh, wow.
We've all heard the horror stories of certain disability. services and insurance agencies that shall remain nameless. I would
maybe we should name them.
Tear it apart and rebuild it from the ground up with a disability focus, because that hasn't been mentioned in the radio yet, but I am a wheelchair user. I'm disabled and proud. I really pull myself into disability advocacy as well as queer advocacy. So I think that would be my major focus. What about you, Chell? PM is Prime Minister, by the way.
Yes, I'm aware. I've been
for our American
I've been
guest.
Here long enough. you did a really fantastic one, and same. That would be one of my priorities as well, because I'm also very passionate about disability advocacy, and rights and acknowledgement for the queer community has improved, there are still many gaps and many issues that fall through the cracks that just need to be remedied. And I would also just build that up and focus in many areas for that, like in aged care. And
something we talk about a lot is the land back. And
yes, especially. Yeah, I was going to follow up with that as well.
Of course, that we're all living on stolen land and that we would negotiate and try to bring more attention to the needs of the original custodians of this land.
Exactly.
The intersectionality there is just excellent, and your awareness of privilege, all those sorts of things, that's just awesome to hear. And if I had $1 squillion, I'd back you in a benign coup to get you as joint prime ministers with those sorts of ideas. I'm all for you on that. And look, so many gaps, in queer policy in Australia. I mean, one is that trans-specific surgeries and treatments not covered by Medicare. And federal government seems to be stalling yet again.
Just a slip of a tongue.
They seem to have elbowed it aside in terms of getting Medicare coverage. And why only 75%? Why not 85%, 95%, 100%? Why have we been rationed? It just seems, it was, where are we, 9 months ago, a report said there's not enough evidence of the benefit of trans surgery. Excuse me.
And there's so decades of evidence. They
decades
just want to
of
ignore
evidence.
It.
Yeah, the people who are alive and sadly, with great respect, the people who couldn't get surgery and aren't here with us and really needed it.
May they rest in power.
Yeah, brilliant, Ren. They're the sort of things that's the evidence. I mean, what more do you need? And why are they only asking medical bodies and not trans people? It just seems very, very strange as to how they're going about that one. But we also know that intersex people got thrown under the bus re the census 2 years ago. And the excuses, there hadn't been enough education, or intersex and allies have been pushing on that for years, all that stuff. So there's all these gaps. You're on the button with the queer stuff there, Shell. Yeah. Mm.
And that's another thing, like quickly circling back to the PM question, that we would center all of these groups and minorities to the forefront for what they need and what needs to be rectified and decentralizing like the corporate hold and like shareholder hold.
That would be nice. We can dream.
Yes.
I'll dream with you. We just, as sort of by serendipity, we played that message about the workers' compensation petition. I'll be signing that and sending that to friends. Yes, what you were hesitating to say about the NDIA/S, I would be hesitating to say about work cover in Victoria, and from what I gather in other states and territories. Misuse of system power, never. Oh, sorry, I just slipped in a puddle of my own sarcasm. But, let's come. Do we want to take a breather, or do we want to keep going with your journey?
I'm okay to keep going. I'm enjoying myself.
And... cool. We'll keep going. We're in the flow here on 3CR. Sally talking with Shelley and Ren about their journey together. So we got through, let's say somehow in some shape or form, we got through 2020 and 2021, which I always say is the worst of the pandemic, but then the pandemic has been undeclared or something. But I'm careful about my language because I'm well aware of people who still need to be careful with immuno issues post COVID. I have two close friends who can have very careful about how they go out.
That's true. I'm one of them.
Yeah.
Oh, you have three friends now.
Three. thank you. sort of that we have to be careful about this and masking these things. And yet almost nowadays, if you wear a mask, you're almost looked at like a, nasty alien, a nasty alien from Pluto or something. That sort of thing, which is like so silly. Some people need them. And, there are other people with allergies who, when pollen season comes, you might need to wear masks. And it's just like, why? So all that sort of thing. And, how... Are you willing to talk a little more about the disabilities?
Yes, definitely.
Ren? Yeah, go for it.
So I was born with cerebral palsy. It's a disability with a wide spectrum of effects. No two people with cerebral palsy will be the exact same. I have never met someone with the exact same struggles as me. I've met people who are quote-unquote more mild or quote-unquote more severe, depending on the language you like to use. That's the language the medical terminology likes to use. I personally don't resonate with it very much, but there are many different experiences. But for me, I'm largely a wheelchair user, and the two of us are considered to be in an interabled relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that colours a lot of how we navigate the world together. We have lots of unique challenges being queer and trans, but I would say my disability on top of that is sometimes an even bigger mountain to climb, because I'm immunocompromised because of a lung disorder as well, and it's something we work on together, because Chelsea is not only my partner but also my carer, and it's a role you take very seriously.
I really do. It's one of the most fulfilling things I could ever do and be.
Yeah, no, it's just, I'm, well, my sense of feeling the bond between you grows even more as I hear more about, the two of you together, and what it means. I mean, in terms of the, of your situation, Ren, what would, in terms of the blue sky, in terms of, are you willing and able to be employed? What would you like, that sort of thing?
You know, I have a dream to have a job. That's kind of where I'm at right now, is that physically and mentally I can't, but emotionally and in terms of my own ambition, I am filled with passion. And it is a fight very internally to kind of reckon with that and tell myself, I want to do all these things, but I feel like I'm running out of time. And I feel trapped. You know, that's something I deal with a lot, is that I'm a very independent, ambitious person. And I always have been. You know, my mum's always said I'm a bit of a warrior, carving my own path. And but one of the hardest things is accepting that sometimes you have to stop.
Yeah.
And I think it's hard for a lot of people, and that might resonate with some of the listeners right now, be it with mental health, physical health. It's okay to stop. It's okay to lean on others.
Yeah. Yeah. Shell, I mean, what can I ask? I mean, is a part of life? I mean, in terms of employment, work, those sorts of things, where does that sit for you?
Well, primarily, I am Rin's carer. That's a daily for me. I fully and wholeheartedly support Rin's dreams, and I know there is going to be a point where you're able to fulfill those dreams and passions. And what?
Don't forget your owner, though.
Yeah, of course. Mm-hmm. Me. and when that time comes, I do hope to pursue some of my own passions and interests, but like in the current scheme of things, with how much of a lack of support and resources in terms of, like, yes, I know there are disability organizations that do help people with disabilities to find work, but it is still very
very hit and miss.
Very hit and miss. Yeah, that's a great word for it. And I am just going to keep pushing through until until we see that improvement. And until,
I think one of the things that I really like about our relationship and find a lot of comfort in is that we walk independent paths together. Like, I have made it very clear ever since we got together that I want to be two separate people who help each other be better versions of themselves rather than too reliant on one another. And I think as the years go on, we're getting better and better with that. And I think, we talked about this in the car, actually, that as much as you help me physically, I try to help you emotionally. And
well, you don't try, you do. You help me every day. And that's something about being an interabled couple is there's this bias that people treat me like that I'm just some martyr or doing something, you know, so amazing by looking after my partner and being my partner's carer. But it's we're a duet, you know. You do so much for me, if not more, and it gets frustrating and upsetting when no one appreciates you and what you do.
I do get stopped in the street sometimes, and people say, "Oh, you're so lucky to have her caring for you, and so lucky to have him there." And I don't want to say no, because of course I'm lucky to have you in my life, but I'm lucky in the way that any partner is lucky to have their partner.
Exactly.
Yeah, just amazing. I'm sitting here with my hidden disability badge that keeps coming unclipped, but I thankfully have saved the badge. Yep, we've got them, and sometimes we don't see them.
Beautiful.
Can I ask, each of you, what is the individual dream that each of you have? What would be your blue sky sort of thing? I'll go with Ren first.
Let's see. I've always been a creative. I've always loved writing and drawing and creating. I think I would love to make my own animated TV show. I think that would be a dream of mine, or a set of novels, and sort of bring some of the worlds I've had in my head to life. Outside of that, in a more kind of practical sense, quote unquote, I've always been interested in working with the queer community, potentially either for advocacy or therapy. I think I'd be willing to provide that. And especially potentially like helping disabled children find their path.
Yeah.
What about you?
I swear it's separate. It's just we happen to both be creatives. I mean, that's what brought us together. But I'm also still a creative to this day. And one of my biggest dreams is to bring the queer stories that I have in my head out as a comic or a graphic novel, or, I mean, it would be amazing if it got animated as well, and just to reach people. Like, even if it's one person, I just want it to reach someone for them to feel like, oh, I relate to this. I feel seen by this. And from all walks of life.
That's part of why we went on the show today, because we thought if even one person hears it and their day is slightly better, then we've done what we set out to do.
Exactly.
Yeah, well, I'm going to say at least I'm one person. I'm just sitting here drinking in your story, feeling, you know, very energized and moved by it and all that sort of thing. And I was going to say, in terms of, you know, I think I know what you were getting at when you, in terms of the lucky to have Shell's the partner, when people make those remarks, I'm thinking of the late, great, awesome Stella Young.
Yes, Stella Young.
And the sort of, you know, the disability porn and inspiration type remarks.
Yes.
And, you know, it's uplifting and inspiring. I know what she meant. It can be done in a very patronising way, but I personally think I was uplifted and inspired by Stella Young, even if some people misused her life in that sense. And I'm certainly moved and uplifted by the things you're saying, and I hope that those individual dreams can come together. And
thank you.
Then we come to the, we'll say, the collective pair, you know, dream of, for the pair of you, you know, sort of what's that one? What would that look like?
For us as a couple?
Yeah.
Let's see. We already hit a big milestone. We're engaged, which is Woo! Very exciting. funds are tight, but hopefully we'll scrape things together for a wedding in the next couple of years.
Yeah. We reached our 10th year anniversary in December.
Yes, of dating anniversary.
A dating anniversary of last year. We hope in the next year or so that we can finally have that celebration because...
we already feel married.
We already feel married. Mm. And finances aside, something that we've had to like heavily consider and be wary of is that disabled rights can be your rights and income inhibited if you're officially married.
Yes,
like that's still an issue in society. That's
another thing we'd tweak as prime ministers.
The fact that your livelihood and benefits are impacted just because you get married is wrong, because as an able-bodied person, if I had a 9-to-5, my job isn't affected. I wouldn't be impacted or anything restricted or taken away when a pension is a livelihood. It's a valid income, and that shouldn't be affected at all.
Yeah, I there's something I had no idea about, and I'm. The sort of range of emotions, sort of disbelief, anger going through my head. I mean, you know, if anything, yeah, it certainly shouldn't be less. Maybe it should be more.
Yes.
Yep. Mm. Yeah.
But I will circle back to the original question about our dream of a couple,
yeah.
even with some gloomy clouds above. We really want to live in a townhouse. We're kind of sick of apartments by now.
Yeah.
Probably a million cats and dogs. We love our pets. A big queer community that we feel like we can support and support us.
Yeah, and having enough rooms to be able to let people stay if they're on troubled times.
We want to create a welcoming space for members of the community who I always see as members of the extended family. And I think that would be our goal, to kind of be strong enough as a couple and as individuals to lift other people up as well.
Your deep positivity and vision and compassion are just, incredibly awesome. You know, just amazing. Well, I hope you get all those dreams, and who knows, maybe in return back to you, someone listening might be able to suggest a place where some of these individual and the collective dreams can start.
That's true. That would be wonderful. We're open to anything.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like alongside ours, we hope yours and anyone that's listening that has long-term dreams see them to fruition. Like that's... And especially in these hard times, we deserve that.
Don't give up, but it's also okay to stop and rest for a while.
Exactly.
Yep. No. All the feels there. I just want to come back, I just want to quickly divert to the other query that Roving had about thoughts about the results from the Nepean by-election in Victoria last night, where the Liberals have kept the seat despite a challenge from One Nation. One Nation not gaining any major ground.
Well, that, I think, is something to celebrate in and of itself, because One Nation is a blight on our country. There are many blights, but that is definitely one of them. I'm celebrating that, but also very conscious of the fact that the Liberal Party isn't exactly doing us too many favours. So it's a mixed bag of emotions, I'd say. I'd say definitely glad that One Nation hasn't moved forward in any, like, real way. I think that's one of the strongest outcomes we could have gotten.
Mm.
And I think when we were talking about One Nation, Chell, we likened it to some of the parties that are in America.
Yeah.
Mm.
And when you were sort of trying to understand it, like, understand who is this person, who is that person, you know, why is this causing such a sort of ripple effect on social media? Why are people worried about this? And I explained, well, you know, they're quite extremist and this policy and that policy, and it did remind you a lot of what you'd experience at home.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it is One Nation. Well, doing their most, I'm not going to call it best, to imitate a certain movements in America. We're just about out of time. We've had another message come in via the SMS, and someone has said, thank you for acknowledging COVID. The truth is everyone should be masking. Nothing ended. The government just decided our health mattered less than, well, I'm not going to mention this corporate's name, a certain corporate's profits that quarter. Let's say that corporate shouldn't necessarily go. That's all I'm going to say. We're all at risk of long COVID, which can ruin your life and becomes more likely with each infection. Yeah, don't know who that listener is, who messaged in at around 12:42.
Ah.
But, certainly very, very fair points there.
Yeah, very true. Yeah. Very true. Mm. It's still real. It's still alive. Yeah.
Took the words right out of our mouths because people want to act like it's gone, but it's not. Like, it still has its long-term effects, and it's impacting everybody every day.
Yeah, it is. And we do need to be careful. And, of course, with this now, what seems like the downturn towards chillier and wetter weather, I think this is the time where we have to be careful. Get your make sure your COVID and flu vaccinations are up to date. Mm. Get them done, everyone.
Your mask.
And don't forget the mask. Any last...
When able to, of course. There are exceptions.
Yes.
Yeah. Indeed. Well said. Any last thoughts before, because we have to wrap up and make way for Freedom of Species?
I'm just going to say thank you, Sally, for inviting us on. It was such a warm and welcoming environment. This is our first time with any kind of radio broadcasting.
Yeah, it is certainly a... one-in-a-lifetime experience. It's something we're never going to forget. And
I think it's a little bit of a spark. I'm very keen to check out what else we can do in this sphere.
Yes. Mm. So thank you so much. And it was such an honor to be here and answer your questions and answer the audience's questions. And thank you so much.
And thank you to everyone listening.
Oh, thank you both for sharing the journey, being so open, so authentic, which is what we need in this world and what 3CR is about. Thanks to our listeners who messaged in, Roving, Xavier, and listen, I'm not quite sure of the identity of, but thank you to you too. Got to get out of here, make way for Freedom of Species, talking all things animal advocacy, vegetarian and vegan. And today, hopefully, they are interviewing Layla from Bats of Geelong.
Fascinating.
And I'm allowed to make self-deprecating humour remarks. Bats, that's certainly for me. And just because we didn't get it in, yes, I'm the person who does professional wrestling, so that's why I'm Bats. And we got it in at 12:57 and 41, so it's a late bet today if you were focusing on the wrestling reference. Anyway, better get out of here. Make way for Freedom of Species. They're coming in soon. Take it out today with a little bit of Emma Wall from the album Sneak from many years ago and Any Minute Now. Thanks, Shelley and Ren, for coming in. Thanks, listeners, once again. I'm Sally Goldner. Stay difficult and stay happy. Catch you next week.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast. If you found it valuable, please consider donating or subscribing to support independent community radio. To find out more, go to 3cr.org.au.